So as you can see, we may have surgical, medical, but also more recently interventional therapy. And this is the treatment algorithm. Diagnosis, lifelong anticoagulation. Why? Because even if we don't found the traditional thrombophilia, per se, this condition is a thrombophilic condition. So anticoagulation lifetime is indicated usually with vitamin K inhibitors, so warfarin. There is minimal experience with the new oral anticoagulants. Then assessment of operability, and if the patient is operable, pulmonary and arterectomy. If the patient is not operable, is recommended the second opinion, because sometimes there is discrepancy between surgeons, and then targeted medical therapy or pulmonary artery angioplasty. There is this new technique. So the treatment of choice is endoarterectomy, and arterectomy includes the cardiopulmonary bypass, the section of the central pulmonary artery, and then the surgeon with special instruments can go peripherally. So there is not an opening of the lungs, but also of the central pulmonary artery, and with special tools, the surgeons may remove this organized emboli. It's an endo arterectomy, and these are the different pieces taken away by the surgeons, and so medial sternotomy, cardiopulmonary bypass, deep hypothermia. Sometimes there is also circulatory arrest, because with cardiopulmonary bypass, the circulation is preserved in the bronchial arteries. So the surgeon may have some blood in the field, and if we want to avoid this blood, patients may be also deep hypothermic and with circulatory arrest. So let's go back to our previous patients. You remember the patients was had the central obstructions, and we decided that the patient was operable, and it was operated, and this is what the surgeon taken away. So the surgeon recanalized the right superior lobe branch. Also the mid lobe branch was recanalized, and also the inferior lobe branch was recanalized at right and also at left, important removals. And this is the results on hemodynamics, complete normalization of hemodynamics. Mean PAP from 46 to 18, PVR from 9.2 to 3.3. And also you see here the reverse remodeling of the ECG, not any more signs of right ventricular hypertrophy, and also the reverse remodeling of the echo. This was before intervention, and we will see here reverse remodeling. The right heart cavity is normalized, and the left heart cavity is also normalized. And this is the results on survival on the registry, the European registry, patients not operable and not operated, the patients operable and operated. Then, when to consider drug therapy for this condition? Obviously, in inoperable patients or poor candidates to surgery due to comorbidities, or medical therapy as a bridge to surgery, or persistent or recurrent pulmonary hypertension after surgery. So, how many are these patients? According to the registry, 37% of the patients are not operable, and maybe more. And the cause of non-operability are clot, inaccessibility, severity and of morphological lesions and pulmonary vascular resistance, too high pulmonary vascular resistance, age, and comorbidities. And this is the number of the patients in which there is recurrence of pulmonary hypertension. Most importantly, 70 to 90% of the patients normalized pulmonary arterial pressure. So these are the number of patients in which there is residual pulmonary hypertension from one third to one fifth. And off-label use of drugs approved for pulmonary hypertension is utilized, and with good results. There are several studies in the literature showing efficacy of prostanoids, of PDE5 inhibitors, and of endothelin receptor antagonist. There are only two randomized control studies, one with bosentan, which probably was undersized because bosentan reduced pulmonary vascular resistance but did not increase exercise capacity. Then we have the riociguat, which is a guanylate cyclase stimulator, which produces an increase of cyclic GMP, like PDE5 inhibitors. In this case, increase of exercise capacity was the primary endpoint. However, the problem with this drug is that despite the improvement in hemodynamics and exercise capacity, there is no demonstrated effect on clinical worsening. So we need to face also with this problem. And in addition, the other problem is that riociguat increases the rate of hemothysis. Why? Because riociguat is also a potent systemic vasodilator, and bronchial arteries are systemic arteries. So it's possible that those hypertrophied pulmonary arteries are dilated and then may induce an increase of hemoptysis, and in fact bleeding are included in the warning and precautions of the approval. Let's see now rapidly the experience in my center. This is the results of our registries of close to 2,000 patients. 284 had CTEF. Interestingly enough, I wanted to check the survival of the three major groups of pulmonary arterial hypertension, so pulmonary arterial hypertension, pulmonary hypertension due to left heart disease, pulmonary hypertension due to lung disease, and chronic thromboembolic pulmonary hypertension. And surprisingly, the better survival are the survival of patients with chronic thromboembolic pulmonary hypertension, because here we have surgery, we have drugs, and we have interventions. The second group is pulmonary arterial hypertension, because here we have drugs and we have transplantation. The third group is left heart disease. Also for left heart disease, we have multiple resources, not for treating pulmonary hypertension, but for treating left heart disease. Here we have drugs, we have CRT, we have ventricular support devices now, and so on. The worst group are the patients with pulmonary hypertension and lung disease, either obstructive or restrictive. So I think it's important for you, for your experience, to show this, because patients when have lung disease and pulmonary hypertension are very severe, and until now there are no good treatment resources. So this is an area of gap of evidence in which we have to work in the future. But let's go back to chronic thromboembolic pulmonary hypertension. We have our experience with endarterectomy. 135 patients are living more if they are operated. It's similar to the registry. And this is our experience with medical therapy, 98 patients. Baseline and after medical therapy, we can increase cardiac index and reduce pulmonary vascular resistance. These are not operable patients. We are utilizing either bosentan or sildenafil. This is as preparation to endarterectomy. Before endarterectomy, patients have a reduction of pulmonary vascular resistance, 9.6 to 7.6, so the surgeon is more happy. But after endarterectomy, you see the mean pulmonary vascular resistance is 3.6, one-third of the baseline. So very important effect of surgery. Okay, so what we did, and this is, again, endarterectomy without drugs. from 10 to 3.2. So we wanted to decide what is better to utilize, sildenafil or bosentan. So we perform a randomized control study in inoperable CTEPH patients, randomizing bosentan and sildenafil, and 60 patients for each arm. And patients were comparable. What we shown was that the improvement of hemodynamics was very similar in both groups, reducing pulmonary vascular resistance. The increase of XSS capacity apparently is achieved in both groups, but when we compared the amount of increase of 6 minute walking distance, apparently was better in the sildenafil group. However, the outcome was very similar. So both drugs can be utilized. So finally, balloon pulmonary angioplasty. This is a new technique. It's quite complicated. It needs a lot of experience. There are several reports, in particular from Japan. Japan, they have a specific experience in this balloon procedure, and this induces reduction of mean PAP and increasing cardiac output. Obviously, the indication is for not operable patients. This is another series with reduction of pulmonary vascular resistance after angioplasty. Just to show you, this is an obstructed vessel. The technique needs super selective injection. This is a complex procedure in which a guide wire has to be put through the lesion, and then with a small balloon, there is the dilatation. And this is the final result after the procedure. You see much better visualization of the distal pulmonary arteries and also you see back also the vein system. There are now some reports in which the survival after BPI is similar to the survival after endoarterectomy. It is required also a very complex and sophisticated imaging. This is a CT scan into the invasive lab, quite complicated. But the identification of webs, bends, and so on are very important for this procedure. So good imaging is absolutely required. I just show you different types. And now there is also a classification of the different types of distal lesions which can be addressed by this procedure. Still, it's investigational because we need to increase the experience. There are possible side effects like reperfusion edema or also rupture of the pulmonary artery. And this is why an emergency team should be prepared for putting the patients on ECMO if required, or just inflating a balloon inside the artery which is bleeding, avoiding the bleed. So the current indication for balloon pulmonary angioplasty in patients not operable is the case should be CTEPH, inoperable patients determined by the surgeon, functional class more or equal to, not contraindication for catheter intervention like severe renal failure, and the type of lesions should be 1-3 according to the previous classification. So, finally, just to remember you the algorithm, operable, not operable, drugs, and angioplasty. These are the indications of the guidelines, so lifelong anticoagulation, endoarterectomy, riociguat, or the other drugs should be utilized. So CTEPH now is a spectrum, a large spectrum in which a part of the patients are operable, part of the patients can be treated with drugs, and now we have also BPA. So it's a complex disease, but there are effective treatment resources. So in summary, CTEPH is the only potentially curable form of pulmonary hypertension. There is an unmet medical need for patients with inoperable or persistent recurrent CTEPH, so only one drug is approved, the other can be utilized as off-label. Traditional PAH-targeted therapy have not shown clear benefit. We have this phase 3 CHEST study with riociguat. Additional RCTs are required, and BPA is a promising new option in inoperable CTEPH. Thank you.